Words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Grace and peace to you from our risen Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We're also praying that the slides work. Yes. Dear sons of God, a blessed week before Father's Day to you all. On the second Sunday in June, all across America, fathers are eagerly anticipating breakfast in bed, being woken up by their children, given boutonnieres to wear the buttonholes of their suit jackets and sport coats as they pack everybody into the family station wagons for the Sunday morning drive to church. Oh wait, this isn't the 50s, or the 60s, or the 70s. We have minivans and SUVs, not station wagons. Dressing up for church mostly means business casual, maybe. And whereas practically everybody wants to go to church with mom on Mother's Day, if they can't, they certainly call her to tell her that they wish they could. Well, Father's Day, well, it's not quite like that. In fact, before everybody walked around with phones in their pockets, yes, there was a time not too long ago. Ask your dad or your granddad about that. Father's Day was the day that Ma Bell geared up to handle more collect phone calls than any other day of the year. Fact. Again, ask dad or granddad. And please don't think I'm just another over-the-hill old guy whining about the good old days. Well, sometimes I do. If the good old days were that good, we wouldn't have all that we have going on now. Whether that means the wonders of technology that makes life so much more pleasurable and productive, that anything this side of Eden, almost every endeavor, the medicine and science, communications, being able to share the gospel online with friends and family. We could not worship here in person this morning, or the other side of the coin, exposure to the deep depravity attacking our eyes and assaulting our ears 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We all know countless examples of fathers from today's television, movies, radio, and print media, both the unrealistically heroic and idyllic, but more often depictions of just how much our current postmodern culture has belittled, undermined, and sadly even demonized fatherhood when compared to the source of fatherness in the universe, God himself. Commercial right now. They're not supposed to transition like that. I apologize. Makes it harder. God identifies himself as Father. He wants us to know, believe, trust, and love him as our Father. God wants us to rejoice because we are his sons, whom he has baptized to live in his kingdom as his own. Yes, you heard right, I did say each one of you is a son of God. And I did begin this morning by saying, dear sons of God. The Apostle Paul told us, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God. Through faith, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And in John's Gospel, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Throughout Scripture, we find ourselves in a relationship with our Heavenly Father as children, as sons, and as heirs. reaffirmed by Jesus, our Lord invites us to pray in and with him, our Father who art in heaven. We learn in Luther's Catechism, with these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all confidence we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. Again, we learn from Luther's explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed, that we may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Not as slaves, but as sons and heirs. See the connection? Since we're the Father's children, all sons of God living in his kingdom, we are heirs to his kingdom. To know what it means for us to be, to live in the kingdom of God, it's most helpful understanding how God increases that kingdom. Are all those programs and new ways of growing the church in God's way, in his will? What does God say? Our gospel text today likens God's kingdom to a field or a garden. So how does it grow? In the first parable this morning, the parable of the growing seed, Jesus said the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, or sleeps and rises at night, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. One more time, an explanation from the Small Catechism is instructive. In the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, we say with Christ Jesus, his kingdom come, thy kingdom come, which means the kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without prayer. But we pray this in a petition that it may come to us also. Well then, how does God's kingdom come? To us, here, now. Some 2,000 years later, God's kingdom comes when the Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives. Yes, we pray, but it's his work. Not only your shepherd in the valley, in this time and eternity, but in the entire world. When God said the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground, he was not saying that God is random, let alone chaotic or careless when it comes to his kingdom. The popular image of Johnny Appleseed, a real-life itinerant planter and sometime preacher, had him spreading seeds randomly. Had him spreading seeds randomly everywhere he went. In fact, John Chapman carefully planted nurseries rather than disorganized orchards. He built fences around them to protect them from livestock. He left the nurseries in care of neighbors who sold trees on shares. And he returned every year or two to tend the nursery. I do want to set the record straight, though. It is absolutely false that Johnny Appleseed spent his winters in Florida, where he became known as Johnny Orange Seed. False. I'm sorry to spoil the yarn most of us were brought up with, but seeds were not scattered as randomly and as carefree as in that well-worn tale. So it is with our Lord. His seed is scattered throughout the world, and where the seed sprouts and grows, we know not how. But we do know his saplings, as we all once were. Need to be tended, cared for in his church by his called servants of the word and each other, brothers and sisters, fellow children in God's kingdom. This is where the second parable, the parable of the mustard seed, describes the church and God's kingdom. From the smallest seed, the seed sown by Christ, by the Holy Spirit and all believers in Christ, the one church, his holy bride, this sown seed grows. For the visible gathering of believers is where God's word is proclaimed and taught, gathered around the means of grace, just as it was in the first centuries, is also here now in this sanctuary and those joining us at home. These two parables about the seed growing and about the mustard seed are stories about the kingdom of God. The parable is usually identified as an imaginary story with a divine truth. Jesus used parables often, and here a little differently than what we have come to think. He knew the religious leaders at the time were trying to do more than just understand him, as he told these improbable stories. But he does tell the disciples and us why. In Matthew 13, Jesus told them, "To you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." With this, Matthew also tells this as a fulfilling of one of Isaiah's prophecies. We do know Paul told the Ephesians, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, his kingdom. So, in the body of Christ, his church today, he has given some to be Johnny Appleseeds, some to be caretakers of the nurseries, to plant churches, to train pastors to care for the flock, to care for us all, male and female, young and old, slave and free, all sons of God. To teach and explain that which is in the Word of God. Early on, Jesus' brother James said, "Not many should become teachers, my brother, for we all stumble in many ways." Yes, we all stumble. We all sin. But in his church and the very kingdom of God, he has given all to be his sons. For in Christ Jesus, we are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. For all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. You have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, "Abba, Father." Dear baptized, adopted sons of God, there's great comfort in these parables. God's kingdom grows according to his will, by his kingdom, from the smallest of seeds that he scattered on the earth. It gives shelter to all who nested it throughout the world. Yet when it is sown, it grows and becomes larger than all the garden plants, puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can rest in its shade, can make nests in its shade. In other words, the reign of God, his kingdom, will take root and grow the world into a magnificent society or in someone's heart. Jesus doesn't specify. It will grow gradually and become much larger, like the obscure small mustard seed. Insignificant, it will turn into something even public and grand. the same time, creatures will find and provide shelter and security. Where Jesus lived, the mustard was like a prolific weed, a very strong weed, sturdy. Wasn't a cash crop, not an ordinary seed, not a seed people would intentionally sow. So then where does his garden grow and his kingdom come? A different parable tells us, seed sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Just like the small grain of the mighty mustard seed, God tells us he will never harvest and take his children home until the proper time. But when the grain is ripe at once, he puts it in the sickle because the harvest has come. Where is his kingdom? Right here in this place. In our hearts, where the Holy Spirit draws us and lives in us. In his church, where we hear the word and where God forgives sin and sinners and makes us to be his sons. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.